Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me today live on Real Liberty Media. If you're here and on podcast, if you're listening on podcast, I appreciate it. Might be having a little audio things going on today, but it'll be fine. Or it won't. You can listen to the recording, though, later. It'll be fine. The recording's fine. Hey, you guys, thanks so much for all the input. I appreciate it. It's always a little nerve-wracking when you go on the air and stuff isn't working exactly as it should, but I just play the music for a little entertainment anyway while we're waiting. Man, I have so many updates, mostly personal stuff today. So maybe, I don't know, it might be boring, might be interesting, I don't know. But, what I want to start with, oh, I left off the last show, I wanted to kind of tell you a little bit about the history I had working in the Bureau of Prisons was, and I can't remember, we ended the show, yeah, talking about Narcan and opioid addiction, and, I got to turn this down a little bit. Yeah, and I was going to say something about having worked in the Bureau of Prisons. I was actually so fortunate to work in the Bureau of Prisons, mainly as a dentist, I think, because I got to talk to a lot of inmates on a whole different level because, I mean, in some ways they think of you as a cop, because you're on the other side, you're an employee, but they also think of you as a healthcare worker, and I know a lot of inmates probably think that their healthcare sucks, and it does, but I never treated them any differently than I treated anybody, which I don't know, that could mean either my private patients get treated really bad, or the inmates got treated really well. I don't know. Hey, but I do have an interesting thing to tell you about that. We'll get to it in a few minutes. But it was kind of cool because not only did I have inmate assistance, because the Bureau of Prisons is too cheap to hire civilian assistants, which actually kind of worked out good, and I'll tell you why. Because just imagine, like, it was a federal prison, male prison, and, I mean, it was basically a free-for-all in the clinic because we didn't have to worry about a whole bunch of political BS. Like, we were just guys hanging out. I know the BOP would be pissed if they heard that today, but no, there's nothing good about a prison system at all. Nothing. Nothing about it is good. But I did get to talk to a lot of guys, and I learned a lot of stuff, like about crime, what kind of crimes to commit. If you're going to commit a crime, make sure you go to a federal joint, not a state joint, and like how to commit crimes so that you don't get shot, mostly, if you're going to get caught. But I did get a ton of exposure to people who had been, and probably some that were still addicted to drugs. And it really kind of helped me understand, you know, what was going on. I'll tell you another big part of what I learned was that, I think everybody's familiar with meth mouth. I don't know if I've ever really talked about it much. But maybe I will sometime. Maybe I'll just do it now, because I wasn't planning on it. But here's something I learned about meth mouth. And that is, like, it can look horrible and still be salvageable. And, you know, in the Bureau of Prisons, it's like nobody is in a big hurry for inmates to get their dental work done. And that's just the way it is. I mean, number one, prison systems in general don't really care if inmates get health care. And then when you remember that dentistry is like the lowest rung on the ladder in that whole healthcare system, yeah, they really don't care if inmates get dental care. So one of the things that I maybe took the opportunity to do was to see if I could save more teeth. I'm going to give you an example. So let's say in the morning, okay, first thing you have sick call, there's 15 guys that need something, they have toothache or whatever, you got to run through, I don't know, 10 to 15 guys that, you know, you got to address their pain, and then you can start your day like regular appointments. But let's say in the middle of one of those appointments, they call for a lockdown or they call for a count, which prison systems are constantly doing. So then you would be stuck with the same inmates in the clinic for maybe an hour or two because, you know, correctional officers aren't really good at counting, I guess, or something. It takes a hell of a long time. And so you have this extended period of time. And what I would do is like, okay, you're in the chair, man. You know, we got 2 hours or who knows how long. Let's just do however much we can do. And I would fix as many teeth as I could. And what I found was that with a lot of meth mouth patients, I want to interject something right here. There's a whole nother way to treat this today than there was 15 years ago. I retired in 2005. So, good Lord, that's a long time. Well, 12, so what is that? Like, 10, 17 years ago? Jeez. Anyway, there's a whole different method of treating decay now than there was then. But back then, even, I would look at some of these giant cavities and I would say, let's just see, like, let's just take the decay out, put some filling material in there and see what happens. And sometimes I would put like a liner or a base material in that helped the pulp heal if the pulp was still alive. And what I found was with guys who actually wanted to turn that situation around, we could save a lot more teeth than what a lot of people were saying at the time, because you guys have seen it. You see somebody in that condition, and it, I mean, it looks already hopeless. You can see every single tooth has decay. And I mean, I've literally had guys who had 28 teeth, and all 28 of them were decayed. And yeah, we probably didn't save all 28 of them, but we saved 25 of them, which is pretty awesome. So anyway, I mean, I had a chance to kind of, I had a chance to gain some experience in that world that you don't get on the street, because let's say you have a private practice. Well, you're not going to get people with meth mouth coming into your private practice to get treatment because they don't have insurance. Oh, they don't have insurance. Hey, what the heck was that? I shouldn't have done that. I got to check something. I don't want to get bothered by that again. Hang on. One sec. Oh. Well, that's interesting. Oh, yeah. What an idiot. Okay, we're just going to ignore it. No, we're not. It'll be bugging me till I fix it. But right this second, I'm not going to fix it. Yeah, if you have a private practice, guys aren't going to walk in off the street with meth and, you know, like make an appointment and come in and see you like, hey, can you fix my teeth? They're just not. I mean, it's not a priority for them, and they don't have insurance, and they don't probably have cash that they want to spend on getting their teeth fixed. So you don't see that a lot in private practice. You may see a few. And I can tell you this. I think in private practice, a dentist would take one look at that and be like, yeah, you got to have all your teeth taken out. And he won't even attempt to restore that situation to some form of stability because they don't have any experience in it. They don't know that you can treat that whole situation a different way. Yes, it does require that patient, you know, cooperate. It has to have cooperation or it's not going to work. So I'm going to tell you a little story. I had no intention of talking about this, but this is a good time to. So right when I left the Bureau of Prisons, I started working at the coast here in Oregon. And I had a young woman come in who had meth mouth. And she was a nice-looking young lady. I'm not stunning or anything, but she was nice-looking. And she told me straight up. She's like, hey, you know, I abused drugs for a long time. I know that I'm going to pay the price, but I'd really like to save everything I can save. And I had this like really frank conversation with her, which was, hey, man, I'm more than willing to help you out. But you have to understand, these are going to be like really long, really kind of brutal appointments because there's no other way to do this. You know, once you get decay to a certain point, it's almost exponential that it isn't. It seems almost exponential that decay will just continue to grow rapidly, spread rapidly. So you got to get in there and stop the process. And I'll tell you about the other thing that we have now. I probably mentioned it before. But anyway, she agreed. She was like, hey, whatever it takes, I'll do this. And I actually ended up asking one of my assistants. I was like, hey, will you stay late, you know, on certain days? Because her appointments, this patient's appointments are going to be really long. And I don't want to take up too much of the rest of the clinic time. But if we just stay an extra hour, we could probably do four extra teeth, you know, three or four extra teeth. Well, I had one assistant, actually both my assistants at the time were like, yeah, I'll stay, you know. Both of them really were compassionate and they saw a value in it too. So we did this thing and it was really incredible to watch the change that made in this woman's life. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't just her smile. So we kind of noticed after about the third appointment, this woman had changed her outward appearance, not just what fillings I had done for her, but she had got her nails done, she had purchased new clothes, she had her hair done, she was wearing makeup. I mean, it really changed her life. And maybe she would have done that anyway. I mean, maybe she would have done that. Maybe if I had said, yeah, those teeth got to go, let's just take them out and make you a denture, maybe she would have done those things also. But it was interesting to see her come back appointment after appointment with new kind of additions to her outward appearance and hopefully her inward appearance too, her inward feeling, the way that she felt about herself, and maybe that somebody gave a crap enough to say, you know, not you're hopeless, but let's give this a go, and if you're willing to do it, I'm willing to do it, and maybe that made a difference. But that was kind of cool, and you know what? I wouldn't have been able to do that without the experience I had in the Bureau of Prisons. Because in the Bureau of Prisons, I got to try different things out to figure out what the heck would work, if anything would work. I kind of was, being in the public health service, you aren't given the opportunity or the, you're not given the tools to provide the highest level of care. You're given the tools to provide the most basic level of care. That's why, you know, so many people who are in any of these social medicine systems, you know, always criticize them because, yeah, you're not getting a crown on that tooth. It's just not happening. And I don't mean just in the Bureau of Prisons. The Indian Health Service was the same way. When I was on the Indian Health Service, the exact same rules of public health dentistry applied to the Native American population that applied to the prison population, because there's a certain amount of supply and there's a gigantic demand. So they want to get people stable, and that doesn't mean crown and bridge work or fixed work or implants or anything like that. It's like, hey, fix it or take it out. You're like, if it needs a root canal, too bad. We're not spending the money or time on that. So, I kind of lost my train of thought, but my point is, I had to learn in that system how to fix teeth that may appear unfixable to many other dentists. And I really kind of mastered that in that phase of my dental profession, my professional development. It was like one of the things I took pride in. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you the truth. My wife has a filling that I did maybe, who knows, 25 years ago. And I've heard other people look at this filling and comment about, you know, they thought it was a silver crown because it looks so beautiful. And, it's kind of one of those things I take pride in. And I'm not really a prideful person, but it was something that I learned to do that was, number one, kind of artistic for me. I mean, it really helped the patient out, but also I put my own kind of heart and soul into, not only am I going to fix it, I'm going to make it look really nice so that you can go about your life and do whatever. And I mean, hell, I was in systems that there was no pressure to see 20 or 30 people because, you know, you got to pay the bills. Like I said, sometimes in the BOP, it was locked down for hours at a time, and if I didn't have a patient in the chair, I wasn't producing anything, but nobody gave a crap because my pay just came out of the federal government anyway, whether I had a patient in the chair or not. And trust me, they absolutely 100% didn't care if inmates received health care or not. Boy, I got a story I could tell you about that too. Whoops, should have hit the cough button. But, so then I come out of that system into a private practice or a group type setting, and I have this skill that I'm able to help people who come in and want actual help, which is cool. And I think it's really, one of the benefits I gained as a professional from being in that system and then being able to help, people like this person. It changed her life. I saw that change myself, you know, and it was awesome that we could do something for her. And I actually have heard recently she's still going to that clinic out there, and she's maintaining fantastic. So just imagine, that's been some time since 2005, 6, something like that. So that's pretty cool. But so I want to tie all this together. So last night, I get a piece of mail, an actual piece of mail, which I don't write to people, so I don't, and I don't get mail back. You know, most of my communications are electronic one way or another, either a phone or text or email, whatever. And this, I got the card right here. I'm going to read it to you. Maybe. I don't have glasses on. It says, "Hey, Mike. Hope all is well. I'll be in McMinnville the weekend of July 8th and wanted to see if you wanted to meet up. I so valued my experience working with you. So if you are around, it would be cool to catch up." And the guy's name is in here. Eric. And, man, I read this letter and the name sounded familiar. And I was trying to figure out who in the heck this guy is. And it was really funny because everybody, like, the mail comes into our place and everybody, it's kind of like mail call. Everybody kind of goes through the mail and divvies it up, right? And I'm never going to look for mail because Rochelle takes care of all the bills or any statements or whatever. And, you know, I never get any mail. So everybody's like, "Hey, what is, who's this from?" You know? And so I took the letter and I was reading it and I was trying to think back. I go, man, I go, so this guy says he worked with me before. And it turns out I probably worked with this guy. I'm going to explain a little bit of a system the Bureau of Prisons has or had at the time, well, 20 years ago. So this guy was a commissioned officer in an extern program where he went into a public health setting and would work under somebody else's license for his summer time between school years in dental school. So he's probably between sophomore and junior year in dental school and doing this externship, and he was assigned to the prison that I was working in. Now, I would submit requests to have dental students come. Every year, I would submit requests to have a couple dental students come during the summer because, number one, it took a little bit of a load off of me, and number two, they got some experience actually doing real dentistry on real people instead of just fiddling around with toys in dental school. And, yeah, it was crazy because, like, I remember him because I spent time in the last 24 hours trying to put the picture together of who this guy is. But I didn't remember him as, you know, somebody that I would, you know, like, I would remember for any other reason. He was a student passing through. He was a really nice guy, kind of soft-spoken, you know, just a great guy. But I made an impact on that guy, which is really crazy. Like, you know, there's a few people that I've had, that I've been fortunate enough to hear them give me feedback that I helped them in some way professionally. Like their professional growth, which is cool. There's a guy locally that tells everybody, well, not everybody, but he tells other employees that, Dr. Mike taught me how to take out teeth way back when I was starting. And that's really cool, you know, that, you know, one, you made one change, helped somebody out somewhere along the way. And here this guy, like, how did he find me? I'm going to tell you how he found me, too, which is really crazy, even crazier than the fact that he wrote me. He actually had to have looked me up on the ham radio database. And how he remembered my call sign, I will never know. Like, oh, crazy that, like, number one, my name changed since he knew me. And, but my call sign hasn't changed since, I don't know, God, way back when. And somehow, like, the letter, the mail does not actually have my name on it. It says W7MJ, which is my call sign for ham radio. and then the address and, you know, stuff, and then a return address and, you know, this little card in it, which was really awesome. But what's cool is, just think of this. So that guy came and worked in a setting that was a public health setting, and he worked with me. I was his mentor, basically. And somehow that setting made an impact on this guy that he would remember and contact me 20 years later. It's crazy. Because, you know, dentists go do, like, dental stuff. They go into hoity-toity offices and, you know, make a lot of money and try and get their, you know, their spa treatments or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you could go into some of these dental clinics today. Hell, there's one locally that serves wine, you know, to adult patients. They have a wine tasting whatever because they're in cahoots with a winery. Or who knows? They probably own a winery. So, but somehow this guy connected whatever I had done talking to him, teaching him, spending time with him as something he remembered and wanted to, you know, contact me 20 years later about. It's just the craziest thing. And really cool too. At this point in my career, when I'm thinking, you know, when am I going out the door? To know that, you know, you had that impact. And especially, I think, I always would tell these students, listen, yeah, these guys are inmates. They're also human beings, you know. Just treat them like human beings. You know, treat them like, you know, you would like to be treated if you were in this system. And hopefully that made a huge difference. So that's my, I had no intention of really talking about all that stuff tonight, today, this podcast, but we did. So anyway, let's move on. So the next thing I was going to talk about is this crazy freaking weather here in Oregon, man. I'm telling you, I know even last time I said I really could use a couple more warm days. And I was cold one day last week. I think it was Tuesday. I was actually tired. No, it was Monday. Monday or Tuesday. I was like tired of being cold. And it's still, man, even right now, literally, the threat of rain is on us. And it's not warm. It's like 60. And I know, man, the rest of the country is burning up, on fire, you know, energy grids running out of power, and you can't get cool enough no matter what. And here we are complaining, well, sort of complaining about the cold. So it continues, and the rain. But the garden, the plants are doing well. And I finished mowing the north pasture, which was cool. Drink time. Oh, that's good. Okay. The other updates, Ruby, the new golden retriever pup, is doing awesome. It took Dexter the longest amount of time to actually kind of, you know, get over her being here. Like, he was, number one, first, kind of afraid of her. And then second, he just wanted to bark at her. And then finally, they started playing. Because he's only a year old, so, you know, he's still a puppy, basically. So they started playing like their pals, and that's all good now. So, and man, is she ever a doll. Just a cuddly, yummy golden retriever pup. Oh, my goodness. You know, she gets on ya. Oh, helicopter going by. She gets on you, you know, and it's kind of like when your kids are babies and you put them on your chest and you just kick back in the recliner and out you go. That's kind of the way she is. Just like, you know, just a snuggly little soft golden retriever pup. So sweet and really smart. Like, I wouldn't say she's 100% potty trained, but close, man. She, of course, we're, you know, crate training her, kennel training her. I'm sure there's some politically acceptable name for it. But, yeah, kennel training her. So that's working out really well. And, yeah. Let's see. Now, Bear, on the other hand, that he's the guy who barks in here once in a while, makes a little noise for the show. He, I think, looks, you know, kind of because of his size, he probably resembles her mom, and she kind of thinks that he's the feeding trough, so she's always trying to, you know, like, she acts like she's going to latch on to him, but, you know, and he's, like, having none of it, so he's kind of staying away from her, and they'll when she stops doing that, they'll be fine. It's not like he's mad at her or angry or violent, but yeah, he doesn't want anything to do with her. And by the way, her freaking teeth are sharp. She also thinks my earlobe is a teeth. So when she's snuggling, if she grabs onto my earlobe, yeah, I know about it right away. I saw this Joe Biden in the chat room, and I just started laughing, man. The memes, oh my God. He fell off his bicycle today. So hilarious. And what a freaking moron this guy is. Oh my God. I really don't even want to talk about it, but I got to tell you, the memes are hilarious, and they are going to keep coming like crazy, and it's awesome. Oh, check this out. So, and I am not bragging. Okay, I'm going to brag a tiny bit. So, the practice I'm in, we have multiple offices over the entire West Coast and some other states. I don't know what all states. But in this region, I don't know how many offices there are, 10, 15, 20. I don't know. There's a bunch. And we are the little tiniest office, like the tiniest office, not only in square footage, but number of staff, and we're out in the boondocks, like we're not in the city. We actually were the number one producing office this month, which I know, like that's not ever my goal. It's just kind of funny that I've said in the, you know, for months now that the demand is so high for dentistry that if I have somebody in the chair, man, we are going to do as much as we can do for them. And that has turned into this thing where all of a sudden, like when they, you know, send out this scorecard, and when they sent it out, I always look to see roughly where I am. I'm usually right in the middle, kind of like right in the middle. And so I'm looking at the list. I go, where in the hell am I? I'm not even on this list. And then I go up to the top. I go, oh, we're like number one. That's crazy. But then the next, so that was in an email, a work email. And then the very next email made me totally forget about that email. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the company has decided, they've been doing these surveys, like employee surveys, which I've never seen one actually produce anything. Like, especially anything that the employees actually asked for. But our company decided to start matching 401k. And I was thinking, damn it, man. Like, I was seriously thinking about calling it quits. Like, at the end of this year. But it's hard to pass up 401k match, especially looking at how much you might have lost in the last year, well, last few months or whatever. So that was kind of cool news. You know, I was like, that's pretty cool. I like that. I'll take free money. As long as money lasts, anyway. I don't know. We'll see. Okay, so that's that. That's all the, well, is it all the updates? Let's see. Yeah. Oh, hey, I did join Truth Social because I got to be a part of this, man. It's just like, you can't pass it up. There's going to be some entertainment on there. So if you want to hook up with me on Truth Social, it's at Redneck Dentist. So check me out there. Oh, no cookie for Mike. Wait, barman gets Mike a cookie courtesy of RobWorks. Thank you. I'll take it. I love cookies, by the way. My favorite dessert. All right, lost where I was. Where was I? Oh, yeah, True Social. I'm on there. There's something else going on too. Rumble is actually going to change their format quite a bit. So I don't know if it's going to, it seems to me it's going to be better. I think they're really trying to position themselves as a free speech platform, which is not free speech, but it's going to be better, I hope. You never know how these things are going to go. But I watched about a 1 hour thing the other night on Timcast IRL, by the way. God, what a great bunch of people those people are. Timcast IRL, and he does his show live on YouTube, but you can catch his show on Rumble or BitChute. I haven't seen it on Odyssey, I don't think, but I probably wouldn't. I don't spend as much time on Odyssey as I probably should. I don't know. But anyway, so they had the guy who's in charge of Rumble over there, and they were talking about how they're going to spell out the rules for, you know, free speech, and they really want everybody to get on there. And, you know, you're not going to get canceled or whatever, but you can't do illegal stuff either. So if you're going to be on there and say or do illegal things, well, you're going to get strikes. But they're going to spell it out. Like, they're going to spell out the policy. They're actually letting anybody who's on there now, I don't know if it's anybody, they're letting creators have input. They're putting their policy up and saying, okay, like, what do you think about this? What would you like to see different and changed or whatever? But Barnes from Viva La Free, and Barnes, they have something to do with it. Like, they're working on it. Barnes being the lawyer. Oh, yeah, Viva La Free is a lawyer, too. Anyway, I'm kind of excited to see what it's going to turn out as. I mean, I think people are going to move. Okay, people who really want to have free speech interactions are going to move to a platform where they can actually do that. And I mean, Gavin Newsom said he was getting on Truth. I haven't actually looked to see if he's on there, but he wants to go on there to call out the, you know, everybody who's lying about, I don't know, conservative posts or Republicans or whatever. So that's kind of cool, though, really, that, you know, like somebody from the extreme left would come on Truth Social, Trump's social media platform. Yeah, he wants to troll for sure. But that's cool, though. I mean, that's cool. So get on there and you know, be a man or be a adult human being and let's have a conversation. And, you know, when we throw crap at you because you're a flipping idiot, well, you're going to have to take it. And if you have a defense, go ahead and try it out. But and it goes both ways. You know, if you post stuff and you're an idiot, people are going to call you out on it. And that's fine. That's the kind of discourse we should have. That kind of reminds me. I had this thought the other day. I was like, and I go through this every cycle with politics, and then it came back to me again today. I was like, oh God, yeah, here we go. So, you know, everybody's talking about the big red wave coming, and you know how I feel about that. I did a whole segment about it, how I just don't think it's going to happen. And all the reasons why. But let's say it did happen. Let's say it is a flipping slaughter of epidemic proportions this midterm. And every single seat changes to conservative Republican hands. Every seat available, which that's not going to happen. But let's just say it's a gigantic slaughter. And, you know, conservatives far outnumber liberals. Well, guess what? It could actually be a blessing for the Democrats. Think about it. So for the next 2 years, yeah, they will drown you for sure. For the next 2 years, the Democrats will basically be saying, well, you know, everything is their fault. They're, you know, they... they run the House now. You know, they have the House and the Senate, and they just won't let us do anything. Kind of like Biden's administration says now that the economy would be better if Republicans would have passed the freaking whatever it's called budget, the the one that would have caused even more inflation. I forget the name of it, but yeah, they're blaming the Republicans for not voting for more freaking spending. So that's kind of crazy, because sure enough, this is exactly what's going to happen. Is the conservatives, if they win, well, they'll be able to stop anything that the liberals want to do, and what Biden wants to do, they'll be able to stop pretty much anything he wants to do, just not let it go through. So then everybody can say, you know, that it's their fault. But here's the deal. I think more and more people are waking up to the truth. More and more people are seeking out the truth. That's why I think it's a good time. If you want to start a podcast, any kind of podcast, I don't care, do it on one of the alternative platforms. I think it's awesome that Rumble is looking at spelling out their policies. Look, if you talk about this, like they said, if you put pornographic material up, you're going to get a strike. Like if it's pornographic material that involves children, you're probably getting banned. Will it be a permanent ban? Maybe it'll be like a one-year ban. But they're putting this policy out there, so saying, okay, come to the platform and let's have some lively discussions. Let's make it entertaining. Have a good time. Let's share ideas. But you're not going to be able to do anything illegal. Yeah, you can cuss each other out. You can, you know, fling mud at each other, whatever, but you're going to keep it legal. So that'll be cool. I think it'll be cool. God dang it. I had a thought right in the middle of that. About like political discussions. Yeah, I probably lost it. That's okay. Anyway, it is a good time, like, to start a podcast if you want to, you know, do it and do it somewhere where people can have lively discussions. What else do I have on my plate today? Oh, I did want to talk about this. So, you know, we hear every day this administration talking about how they're getting rid of, they want to, you know, get rid of fossil fuels. And I was thinking, you know, here's the thing about living in freedom. You make your own choices what you're going to do for the day or the week or your life. You decide. You don't let anybody else decide. So they want to get rid of fossil fuels. And I say, hey, go for it. If that's what you want to do, well, then you do that. You do that. Like, you literally this minute stop using fossil fuels. You hate them so much, stop using them, all of it. You know, don't wear any clothes that are made from fossil fuel derivatives. Don't use any, you know, anything that's shipped using fossil fuels, made with fossil fuels, like in any way comes from fossil fuels or fossil fuels any way involved. Stop using it. Nobody's stopping you from doing that. You don't have to... You don't have to push that belief and practice on the rest of us. Just stop doing it yourself. Like, be an example. You believe in that stuff? Be an example. Stop it. But they can't. I mean, look at them. They're begging for fossil fuels from freaking murderers in Saudi Arabia. You know, and from countries that actually, you know, hate women. Constantly violate women. Women don't even have rights in Saudi Arabia. They're not, well, actually, some people would say they're treated really well in some aspects and really, really, really poorly in a lot of other aspects. And, you know, they throw gay people off of buildings because they're gay. They don't tolerate any of that stuff. Look at this freaking movie, Toy Story. No, what was the new one? Buzz Lightyear. So they had a male-on-male kissing scene in it. It was banned from like 17 countries because those countries are like, oh, no. You're not putting that in our culture. We're not accepting that in our culture. But yet we're going begging oil from people like that. You know, and telling our oil companies here in the United States that the patriotic thing to do is to produce more oil, even though we restrict you in every way possible. But you don't have to. I mean, you can live however you want. That's one thing I think I love about trying to, you know, promote the homestead life here, doing everything we can here, that we don't have to depend on the outside world for much of anything. Of course we do. I mean, where we are right now will never be totally independent of the outside world. And I don't even know that I would want to be 100% independent of the outside world. But just having as much as we can have here without going outside, as far as the bare essentials, that's kind of cool. You know, and when I'm out on the tractor, when I'm out on the property doing whatever I'm doing, I'm not thinking about all the oppression that's going on in the world around me. I'm not thinking about how the government is, you know, just beating us down every freaking day with new rules, new laws, new restrictions, and new definitions that they want us to obey, and, you know, new terminology that they force employers to use and force companies to make their employees use. Nope. I'm just enjoying, you know, the dirt, the plants, the birds, the, you know, beauty of the world going on. And that feels good. It feels good to get away like that. Like in your mind, just get it, get away from it. Go back to the main notes here. Man, I almost don't even want to talk about crappy stuff today. Let's see here. So Rob, so what's going to be the energy of the future? What is the energy right now? I got to look this up. Sometime you and I got to have a talk. What is it that we're going to start using? I know you posted something last week. I still had the tab open, for crying out loud. Well, until we started having sound problems and I closed all my tabs and anyway, I mean, the world is still using a ton of fossil fuels for sure. Nobody's ready to get off it right away. It would be cool, though. Toroidal coils. Oh, okay, that's the coil you were talking about. That would be cool. Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have power. It is nice to have power when nobody else has power, that's for sure. We considered wind and solar before. Just as temporary backups, nothing permanent. But then I think I did talk about this before, this limitation to wind and solar. Man, I have to really actually study that. That's what I got to do. I got to make this my focus for a week or a month or whatever, however long it's going to take, because if he can actually do that, we need to do that. Toroidal coils, run on magnets. Larry says he can power countries. Well, let's do it then, for crying out loud. Like, why wouldn't you do that? I mean, if there's an alternative that makes sense, like in, you know, the materials, you know, we don't have to mine half the freaking earth to get the materials, and they're not dangerous materials. I mean, why wouldn't we do that? It makes sense. Okay, I'll listen to all the dropping a coil shows. I've seen them several times come up. I used to listen to them back when I first started because I didn't know what was going on at all. have to listen to it more seriously. Yeah, and I think I talked about this wind, solar, wind and solar is more expensive and environmentally non-viable. It doesn't even make sense. It actually kind of now it makes you think, okay, Bill Gates was actually maybe kind of a genius to short Tesla, because maybe Bill Gates understood this. You know, that we don't have the ability to mine enough stuff to keep electric cars going. But you would think Elon Musk would know that too, but I mean, that guy is, you know, into a bunch of other things in addition to just electric cars. You know, the whole sky, what's it called? Skynet? No. What's it called? The space, not SpaceX. Yeah, Skynet. And all those satellites. He just launched one, I think, yesterday or today. It's going to drop 63 satellites. If you've never seen them going across the sky, man, I would say go check it out. It is crazy to see a line of satellites cruising across the sky. Yeah, Starlink. I don't know where they are going to be, but you can go to a Starlink finder and see where they are or what time they're going to be passing over your skies. And if the sky's dark and they're in the right position, you'll be able to see them. But holy crap, when you see, I think the first time we did it, we were maybe a day or two into the, after they had launched, and so they were about, they were like 40 seconds apart, and we just laid on the ground and counted like 50-something satellites, 40 seconds apart, so almost an hour we're out there waiting for the next satellite to come by. But if you catch them right after launch, it looks like a train going across the sky. It is so cool. So SpaceX, if you go look for SpaceX satellites and, you know, wherever the next one is going to pass over, you know, have a look. It's really cool. Well, I mean, if you live anywhere but here, have a look, because here we're totally overcast skies. And we're not going to see anything. Hang on. All right. What else do I have? What other crap can we get into? But that was some pretty cool stuff. Oh, what shall we eat? This was what I was going to talk about today. You see what happened? Oh, this is so funny. Whoops, got a cough again. Hang on. All right, dang, allergies too, man. And now it's just like getting to be, I don't know, cold, mildew, I don't know, maybe fungal spores or something. Oh yeah, I listen to every Larkin Rose so far. That guy's an interesting guy, so if you want to check out a anarchist, that guy's pretty interesting. Hey, but I got to tell you, yeah, we might do, what are we going to eat? Well, I mean, we still have like 10 minutes or something. There's plenty of time. So, if you watch that Larkin Rose, I forget, I might be just called Larkin Rose, I forget. But he did this one podcast with his girlfriend sitting next to him, just staring at him. Oh my gosh, I couldn't listen to him because she was really kind of being crazy. I mean, weird, just weird. And then she would like, then she would just like snap out of it and like kick in her information, like she would contribute to the podcast, and she was totally like completely focused and coherent. And then she would go back to staring at him like she was going to jump him any second. That's what I kept thinking is, man, this is going to get interesting. Anyway, but he has some great thoughts, man. Yeah, I appreciated that one. That was really good. I don't know if I'm on the right site. There's only about, what, 12, 13, 14 maybe podcasts on that site, but there must be some more. And yeah, I know he's written a book, so I'll check into that more or see if I can find him somewhere else. I don't know. But it didn't seem like there was a ton of videos on that site when I pulled it up. But anyway, okay, so here's the deal. I found two really interesting articles, or maybe not. Hopefully they are. What shall we eat? Oh, one thing is, I've noticed, like, around here. Oh, okay, suppressed. Well, of course. Fake news, right? Controversial. Can't have him on there. I wonder if he'll move to one of those other platforms. That'd be cool. So I've noticed my neighbors even, you know, I have the GoPro now. So when I'm riding to work and back, I turn the GoPro on and I really kind of watch, like I ride a little slower so I can kind of scan, you know, properties and viewpoints that I have. Yeah, he is working on a movie on the Jones Plantation too, that's right. Anyway, I like to look around a lot so that, you know, if I post a video from my riding, that there's, you know, you can see what I'm seeing and kind of take in what I'm taking in. And one thing I've noticed recently is a lot of my neighbors, we all have kind of 5-acre parcels in this area. Like a lot of my neighbors have new kind of meat animals on their properties. And it's not just one. I mean, you know, a lot of people are starting to think, okay, we need some way to, you know, produce meat up here. Oh yeah, that reminds me. So you notice the formula place that was going to, you know, crank up and start creating formula, it got flooded. So now there's going to be more of a delay creating formula, like producing formula. It's the craziest bunch of stuff going on to interfere with food supply right now. I'm not kidding. It's mind-boggling how many coincidences there are with food production and supply, you know. And I'm sure that a flood is a flood, you know, but Jesus. Coincidence, I don't know. Okay, so I've noticed all this extra food being produced. Or people getting ready to have food available, meat mainly, protein mainly. And then I noticed these two articles come across my mail feed or probably in my RSS feed. One was about, is it safe to eat your pet's food? And I was like, that's kind of funny. I remember the last time we started talking about this. And it's like funny that the exact same, and the last time we didn't have internet, so it was all rumor, you know, like, yeah, should you eat your pet's food? Like, if that's all you can afford, should you eat it? And of course, the bad news is they don't recommend that you eat your pet's food because, like, the quality control isn't the same. Look how many times recently pet food's been recalled because it killed frickin' pets, or, yeah, better off eating grass, you know, or makes pets sick, or it has particles in it, you know, it has foreign objects in it, or it has E. coli, or salmonella, or some other frickin' poison that'll kill your animals, so they're like, you know, well, number one, don't eat it because, yeah, we don't really check it that often, and number two, it's like, and you don't store it very well. You know, yeah, there is food everywhere. That's no kidding. Yeah, you don't store the food very well. So, of course, you know, it can be bad after you've purchased it. And even though it's perfectly fine as far as, you know, nutritional content, if there's enough in there, well, now you've made it horrible because you didn't store it very well. Or you store it somewhere where rats and, you know, bugs and stuff can get in it and then spoil it too. So, I don't know. And then the other article, this was really crazy. Oh, sorry. Hey, perfect timing though. I'll see you guys on Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.